And he's looking to play it through, and it might fall for the goal. In the opening 5 minutes, Colombia are in front.
It's tough to pick them up. It's tough to know who's supposed to step. So a lot of attention, a lot of communication in that midfield to make sure they neutralize that.
Anthony Robinson forward to Balogun here. It's Balogun, grid off the line. Appeals for a handball.
Minor lapses for the US, just causing big problems.
They're going short here. Arias with a high ball in towards the 6 yard box where Ring meets it in the air. And then the overhead kick is absolutely spectacular. Rafael Barre makes it two inside 20 minutes. And once again down the right. What can he create here at the byline? Reina with a foot in. Neat play on the edge of the box coming towards Christian Pulisic here. This is Anthony Robinson with the ball in, and the header on the front post from Pulisic is dealt with by Vargas. Richard Rios, 23-year-old who plays for Palmeiras, only made his debut last October in the 2-2 draw against Uruguay in World Cup qualifying. And they find Guerra right. John Duran making the run into the box here, wanting the ball played into the middle. And it just comes back, and it goes in for the third goal.
He said, we know any team can give an upset, but we know not to think of this undefeated storyline.
And Fernando Quintero in towards Carrascal. Carter Vickers. And here come Colombia once again as it's right through for number five.
We begin with the U.S. men's national team. On Saturday in Landover, Maryland, they played the first of their two pre-Copa America friendlies, and it did not go well. They suffered a 5-1 defeat to Colombia. John Arias and Rafael Santos Borré scored in the first half. Team UEFA pulled one back early in the second half, and then Colombia poured it on late. Richard Rios, Jorge Carrascal, and Luis Sinisterra all on target. It's the U.S.'s worst loss since a 4-0 qualifying defeat to Costa Rica in 2016, which spelled the end for Jurgen Klinsmann, and the first time they've conceded five goals in a game since a 5-0 defeat to Mexico in the 2009 Gold Cup final.
Well, lots of excitement here in Park Circle today. We have we're doing a little bit of a live show out here, and we just had a guy that, Nick and I just witnessed it. It's a guy pulled in a parking spot that was up for, I guess it was up for debate or was being contested, and girl parked behind him, wedged him in. He went to go pick up some food, came right back out, and then jumped in her car and moved it. And we're about to have the old 5-0 get over here to resolve the situation. Luckily, it didn't come to that. But my God, what a joke. Anyways, we're here to talk about football. We're here to talk about everything that you need to know for the Copa America 2024 and the European Championship 2024. But first, we have to get to the ass whooping that took place last week between the United States national team and Colombia. And I think, Nick, that I said that the USA would lose. I did not know that they would lose like this. You and I watched the last couple minutes of it, came in, you watched all of it. Yeah. Let's give our perspective on this because we addressed this. We talked about Berhalter last week, and we talked about the, you know, just the lack of, I think, respect and experience that he has in terms of managing a national team and from the players that he is surrounded by. And it's not so much the kits and the names on the back of the kits that I have a problem with for the United States. It's a matter of being able to take these players and form them into a cohesive functioning unit, which Greg Berhalter seems unable to do. And it's sad because they lost 5-1 in embarrassing fashion on home soil. And they play Brazil tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Anything less than a complete drubbing, I would be shocked, as Brazil basically saved face against Mexico last minute. So they're going to be looking for blood. And what a negative way to go into the Copa America with a 5-1 loss to Colombia and then a loss to Brazil to follow that up. So.
Yeah, I was watching as much as I can at Basel, and boy, let me tell you, it was pretty embarrassing. They definitely did not have really a game plan at all, I will say. They came out flat. They let in the early goal. They did not really have much of anything going on tactically. So, therefore, it showed, man. I mean, Colombia was the better side. There's really no plan, no plan of action. There's no POA, man. The back line was confused the whole day. Colombia actually started a lot of guys that I would say I respect, man. Bure from Internacional, the Brazilian side. He missed actually the Copa Sudamerica match to play in this friendly. I think he got a goal. I mean, everything was just all on Colombia's side, man. And I'm with you about Greg. I don't know. I'm American. I'm American as can be. Yes, my great-great-great Slovakia and Italy. But guess what, man? America is where I'm from, and I would love to see them do good. But just Greg isn't the answer. If you're an American football fan and you want Greg to be here, then, you know, you hate us.
So the question begs, like, okay, you're going into a major tournament. You have a apparently fourth highest odds to win it, which if you look at the group, we'll go through the groups here at the end of the show. We're going to just talk about specifically this USA Colombia match. I would say that two things. One thing that stands out to me is there's not enough time. And I know that people will say this and it's ridiculous. Okay. I know that Ivory Coast sacked their manager in the middle of the AFCON. That's the exception, not the rule. Yeah. I don't condone anybody for doing it, but I'm just saying, like, I also don't recommend it. It's just that the United States have, for the last, you know, year or so, been under Berhalter. The way you do it is you get embarrassed at the Copa America and then you sack him before the plane even lands, you know, from wherever you play the match. So the last match before you go out. So there's not enough time. Now, the second thing I would say is you and I watched them play against Mexico. I think it was in March, February, March, and decisive 3-0 win. We thought they looked really good. Haji Wright looked good. Dest looked really good. But my point is that we saw improvement. We both, you know, had some kind of, you know, thumbs up, like optimism surrounding the team. It looked like the momentum was starting to shift in their side. It looked like they were starting to gel. And then you have a complete setback. The back line, the defense, the lack of awareness, the ball watching, the non-man marking. Yeah. I don't know if they were playing zonal or what they were doing, but there were literally Colombian shirts running around free in the box. No man marking, nothing, no one focusing on anything. It like they were just all their heads in the clouds. And one of the Colombian players even scored on a bicycle kick. I mean, it's ridiculous. Like the fact that they were doing basically street football trick shots to score goals is embarrassing. Yeah. I mean, 3-1 is a bad score. 4-1 is horrendous, but 5-1 is just embarrassing. And the way that the 5-1 happened, through passes, lack of focus, lack of concentration.
Mistakes at the back.
Yeah, oh my bad gosh. Mistakes at the back. So it's just, to me, I have no optimism whatsoever now going into this tournament. So, Nick, I mean, your thoughts on the actual match itself and what you are looking, what do you think is going to happen tonight against Brazil?
God, yeah, the match was terrible. Colombia, no focus. Like you said, man, those mistakes at the back. I mean, two of the goals that came in the end, last 10 minutes, were like bad pass backs. Like, they weren't even on point with their pass backs. Like Kwanzaa had against, I forget what team it was, for Liverpool, he had a bad pass back. It might have been United or somebody. And the team scored. Like, that was all
United, yeah.
Yeah, that's all that they were doing. And it showed, man. I mean, just an embarrassment. Greg was he blamed it on a lack of focus, a lack of intensity. And let me tell you, 5-1 is a lack of everything, because that is like 10-0, 15-0 in baseball, 6-0 in hockey. Like, that is a bad, bad score line. You don't want that. And man, let me tell you, it was a bad turnout. My optimism for the Brazil match tonight is zero. I would bet my life savings on Brazil to smoke them. They don't stand a chance. And yeah, man, we're going to see a shit show tonight. I'm sorry. It's going to happen. 7 o'clock sharp. We're going to see it. Brazil's going to probably play their B team and then bring the A team on at the end. And then we'll see Brazil probably light them up even more at the end. I don't think tonight's going to be good at all.
You and I will be watching that match tonight together, yes. 7 p.m. Eastern. I would say I'm looking for any improvement. And I mean, any improvement would be only moderate, slight, whatever you want to call it, just inches of improvement, because 5-1, it doesn't get much worse than that.
Nope.
Now, we'll say consolation prize, and it's a really bad one, is the goal scored by Bea was actually really pretty.
Yeah.
But the fact that Colombia was able to so quickly score three, and like I said, some of these goals were just uncontested.
Yeah.
Someone was a trick shot.
Yeah.
I mean, a bicycle kick in a match of this, of two nations of this magnitude. I mean, you know, these are, you know, two top 25 nations in the FIFA rankings, and just to get humiliated like that on home soil. Yeah. That's pretty bad, man. I can't really say any other thing about it. I mean, look, I haven't bought a USA kit since the 2014 World Cup, and that was Clint Dempsey, and I consider him a pretty good player. There's not the only one I own. I actually sold that one. The only one I own now is from that same World Cup, that the popsicle kit, which I think is beautiful.
Yeah, nice kit.
And you know, that team did do really well. They lost to eventual champions. They lost to Belgium 2-1.
Yeah.
But Tim and our keeper played the match of his life.
Yeah.
But I will say that in doing that, you know, there's been a lot of inconsistency since 2014.
Yeah.
But Jozy Altidore is the guy I got. I mean, I always liked him, Toronto FC legend. There's just no excitement around this team, man. Like, I look at those, we just visited Lloyd's Soccer here, the local retail store here in Charleston, South Carolina. Beautiful inventory. If you want international kits, they got everything you could possibly want in there. But, you know, those USA kits look pretty, man, but I'm not rocking it.
No.
I'm not rocking it. And, you know, until they do something, you know, like you said, I mean, we both live here.
Yeah.
You know, we want to see them do well. I'm happy that the women do well. But, I mean, there's just nothing from the men ever to get excited about, it seems like. So, and I do say, if they could just lose to Brazil 3-2, and I already say the word lose, if they can just lose by less than 5-1, that's an improvement, right? It's just really embarrassing, man. And I don't know what the future holds. We can do a whole we'll do many, many more shows on the U.S. men's national team, because I think that there's got to be something to change. There's got to be some kind of shakeup. There's just no way they can keep moving forward. And by the way, I hate to say this, but unless it's Jesse Marsh right now, I don't really see an American manager that can help them forward.
Yeah, I agree, man. Yeah, and Marsh just took the job at Canada, and we missed out, man. I really feel.
He took the other North American job, but of course. Right?
Yeah, and I mean, they got cooked. Canada did 4-0 to Netherlands, and then rebounded greatly and drew with France 0-0.
Right.
So Marsh is making improvements. It'll take him some time. But America, man, we are screwed with Greg. Greg is going to sink us into the ground. And I'm telling you, before World Cup 2026, we will have a new manager, thank God. But I mean, as far as my hopes and dreams, especially just on tonight and Copa, are zero, dude. I mean, just for them to beat Panama and Bolivia is going to be big. And then just to get out of that group is going to be huge, because I don't think they're very good, man. I just don't.
Have the odds gone
No,
down?
I looked. And I think I looked last time we talked, and the odds were the freaking same, dude. Like, how in the world?
Well, it's ridiculous that they're the same.
Yeah, so I'm double checking right now. And USA, nope, still the same. They are in fourth place with Colombia at plus 1,100. So you got Argentina 1, Brazil slightly above them, Uruguay at plus 500, Colombia and USA at plus 1,100. So, yeah, man, it's not looking good, bruv. As the meme says, we got some trouble around the corner, and Brazil tonight will either be a time where we keep laughing or we see a little bit of improvement.
I think that's a joke that the odds are still that high.
But they really are.
I guess you can look at it and say, so Vegas obviously believes somewhat in this team.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know to what extent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can't really say that that's a
good
a good thing or a bad thing. But somebody believes somewhere. So I wouldn't put any money on it. But it's just, you know, we'll take a look back at the United States men's national team. We will obviously have this game will, we will already be in the Copa America by next week when we talk about the matches. So we'll have to review the Brazil match next week if there is anything even to review, because at the end of the day, it is a friendly, but even friendlies, you don't want to lose 5-1.
No.
If Brazil and America go 1-1, we can talk about a little bit of improvement or what they did right or wrong. But I'm just looking for them just to not bleed as much as they did against the Colombian national team.
Yeah.
And Brazil is certainly a formidable opponent that the United States rarely, if ever, does well against.
Yeah, no, big time. Yeah, if there's anyone we don't stand much of a chance against, I would say Brazil is top.
In Argentina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the big names USA usually falter against. I mean, what against Germany, we scored first and then lost 4-1, I think.
That's right.
So, yeah, man.
3-1, 4-1, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, not much hope there. So,
what I would say moving forward is that there just needs to be, I think there needs to be some a new idea. I think we need to refresh things with the national men's national team. And I certainly think that we need something tactically needs to change, because the defense was poor as an understatement, and there was very little going forward that I saw that looked like any kind of cohesive, consistent play.
Yeah.
And there were not many opportunities created as a result of that. And when you don't have chance creation, then you're obviously going to
pay the
not
price.
Score, and you're going to pay the price, especially when you have the defense that was as leaky as theirs. But
Hey,
we're going to move on to something way bigger and better. We're going to move on. We're going to look at the preview right now of the 2024 UEFA Euro 2024, the second biggest international tournament in all of football. And we'll just go through this real quick and think about this. Like, we'll go through our who we think is going to make it out of each group. Okay. And from there, we'll look at the, obviously the, it's going to be 16 teams total that make it, round of 16. Then you have the quarterfinal, semifinal, and then the final. Now, we don't exactly know how that's going to line up, because we don't know what group's going to face which group in terms of, you know, A versus B from this group. But we'll just pick our 16 and then kind of go from there in terms of how we see it playing out. Because if you're a great side, yeah, matchups do matter, but if you're a great side, you'll find a way to come through. So we'll just go with that. Let's start with Group A, Nick. This is the group that the hosts are in, Germany. And so you have Germany, Scotland, Hungary, and Switzerland. Germany, okay. So we just had two friendlies from them. They drew, we went over this last week on the show. They drew 0-0 with Ukraine, and then they had a 2-1 come from behind victory against Greece. I think that you're higher on them than I am but I am low on the German national team because of the manager. I'm not a big Nagelsmann guy. I think he's arrogant. I think he's got good tactical ideas, but I just think that to a certain degree that a lot of the players just don't respect him, and I think the manner in which that he approaches them is probably very aggressive or almost like a know-it-all.
Yeah.
And you're not going to do that and get very much success with like a Manuel Neuer or Thomas Müller or Toni Kroos, those kind of guys that have been there, done that, won six Champions Leagues, all this kind of stuff, won the World Cup before in 2014. And those three players, just now that I named, actually did exactly those things.
Yeah.
Kroos won six Champions Leagues. They all three won the World Cup. So, is there any reason that you're higher on Germany than me? I mean, you and I both talked about Nagelsmann lacking the respect factor and possibly being a pompous asshole. But what is it? So you believe that they will get out of the group? And I'm gonna, you know, spoiler alert, I do not. I think they will actually. The hosts have made the final in 2016, which was France, and again in 2020, which was actually played in 2021, which was England.
Yeah.
Both times the hosts lost. Now I'm saying the host ain't even going to get sniff the final.
Yeah.
I think Germany, based on name recognition, is a top five side in the world. I think that there is absolutely no doubt about it, that there is talent on this squad. You don't win Champions Leagues, you don't win World Cups when you don't have talent, and they have that in abundance.
Yeah.
The problem is I don't think that there's any tactical – I think that there's just a lack of – there's a lack of creativity, there's a lack of a number nine. They don't really have a true number nine. Havertz is not that. Thomas Müller is obviously also not that. He's kind of a – an offensive a utility man. He can play pretty much any role, but he should not be. And you can see, like, you know, he was better when Lewandowski was on the pitch with Bayern. It was never Thomas Müller was never the number nine. Yeah. He's kind of the ball falls to him, and he's one of those guys that just is in the right place at the right time. He has excellent football instincts and also a high IQ. But you should not rely on him. Goals for him are gravy on top of your potatoes. They're not something you should rely on. No. And I think we just talked about this, that Phil Krug is absolutely – he is a number nine, but I don't think that he is a world-class number nine, one that you would look like, you know, say Kylian Mbappe, for example, for France, that you would say, okay, this guy's capable of winning a tournament for us. Yeah. So what are your thoughts on the German national team? Why are you higher on them than I am?
Yeah, I just I mean, I'm not necessarily too high on Nagelsmann. I agree with you. He is very pompous. He thinks he knows it all, and really, I mean, sure, he did great with Hoffenheim, and he's definitely done some good stuff on club level. You know, you're now at the national level where you deal with the best for that country, and Germany is one of the most talented countries in football. And I agree with you, man. I don't think no one really wants to listen to him. He can't come in and demand a room full of champions and winners when he himself, sure, he went to Champions League with Hoffenheim, but that's about it, man. I think they will do good in their group. I do see them beating Scotland. I do think they will take care of the Swiss. I think that being on home soil is a big advantage for them. I don't take too much extra stock in being home, but I do feel – being in Germany is going to help them. I'm not so big on them crapping the bed so early, man. I think that Hungary is going to be a hard side also. This actually, I don't think it's group of death necessarily, but it is a very strong group top to bottom. I feel that they're going to be able to do their job, win against Scotland on Friday, get the 3 points, and at minimal, I don't think they'll lose a match. They'll definitely draw one there. I don't see them really losing. If they lose to anybody, it could possibly be Switzerland, but that's even a stretch. So
we look at the Swiss. You have Nico Elvedi. Manuel Akanji obviously plays for City. You and I have thrown him under the bus quite a bit. Yeah. He's kind of a – I never really thought of much of him at Dortmund, but, you know, the City bought him. And I guess they're pleased with him, if you will. So I don't know. Just never really rated him. But Renato Steffen, you've got Granit Xhaka, obviously, who just had an invincible season with Leverkusen.
Yeah.
Jordan Shaqiri's still hanging around. Braylon Bolo, former Schalke legend. Say that with tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
There are, you know, and the keepers, like Gregor Kobel just played in a Champions League final. Jan Sommer just won the Scudetto with Inter. Yeah. There's some damn good keepers here. Kobel's 26. If you want your older option, your experience is at 35 years of age with Jan Sommer. Jan Sommer absolutely was a massive part of that Inter defense that just won the Scudetto and only had two defeats over 38 match days. The Swiss team is the team that I look most likely to put a loss on Germany. I will say that. Is there any debate from you on that, or do you see that as the same?
No, I do, man. It's a difficult thing. I don't bringing up the Swiss side, man. I think what was it? Wasn't it Euros last time they beat France? I think they beat France in the last Euros. They kicked France out.
They might, yeah.
Or was it World Cup? I think one of the two tournaments. I think they beat France, and I think they are definitely capable of doing some damage. I don't see them. Yeah, Switzerland beat France 4-3 after penalties. So it was 3-3. The Swiss beat the French. With you know who they have in goal, right? Sommer. Sommer's in goal.
That's what I just said.
Yeah. Sommer in goal from he's a Gladbach legend. Now he's back. Where's he playing
he's
now?
Playing Inter.
He's So winning the Scudetto is a massive accomplishment, especially with Inter. I think if any team's going to be the hardest for Germany, it is that Swiss side. Switzerland is going to be the hardest for Germany. I don't see. I don't see anybody else beating Swiss or Germany, man. You know, I think Akanji at the back, he has his vulnerability. But for country, when you're playing these three matches in Euros, he can stay nice and tight. I think Swiss and Germany, man, they got to be the favorites there.
Well, I'll look at this. You know, you have, there's still some players for, you have Peter Golaski for Hungary. He's in goal for them. They got a lot of experience there.
Szoboszlai.
And Szoboszlai is the captain, obviously plays for Liverpool, only 23 years of age, yeah. And he's the captain of Hungary. There's some talent there. Hungary gave Germany all they could ask for the last time they played in a major tournament. So yeah. They're not going to be some easy pushover. And we just talked about the Swiss national team, and then you know we talk about Scotland. So listen, Scotland with Andy Robertson, Ben yeah. Doak is coming in for the first time. You've got Scott, you got McTominay. So is there any, I mean, does Scotland worry you if you're yeah. Germany?
No, I want to say this, man. Germany are a goal and a half favorite. They're minus 350.
Yeah, see, I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah, see, Critty feels I should put something on Scotland plus one goal because he yeah. thinks it's going to be close. Well, you know, that could be the case. It is the first goal, but Scotland is one of those teams, man. You just don't expect much out of them, but they'll shock you and get a winner at the end or something. Yeah, and McTominay did it. Two matches in qualifying, he actually secured their spot, and Scotland, I don't think, lost. I think they might have lost one match in qualifying. They had an incredible run in the Euro qualifying, and boy, it was pretty crazy for them. I don't know, man. I don't think Scotland are going to really get a chance now. The top four third-place teams do make the playoffs, so they yeah. could have a chance with that. It just depends on if they can beat Hungary and if they can draw to Swiss or Germany at all, because if they get 4 points, they could possibly pass in that third-place slot.
It's sad that we're talking about the fact that Germany might have to finish third with some kind of, like, tiebreaker. And if I'm not mistaken, did they go right out in 2021, or did they get that? Did they get that same benefit with the third place finish? I don't remember exactly.
So Germany last time finished second place in a group with France, Portugal, and Hungary. Wow, what a coincidence! They're in another group with Hungary. They got second place. They had a 6-5 goal differential, 4 points to France's 5.
But they lost to England in the next round, right?
And then
now I remember. Yes. They lost to England.
But Germany, yep, 2-0. 2-0, they lost. Sterling scored in the 75th, and the 86th was Kane. So they held on till the 75th minute, and then they went down, yes, yeah, in the playoff.
Okay, well, so let's pick the group, Nick. I'm picking Switzerland to win the group. I am picking second place for me is going to be Scotland, Germany third, and that leaves our boys. He's laughing. I know. Right.
Gosh. Yeah.
So
hungry last.
Hungry last. Yeah. I just think that I think that's But
almost a tear.
Germany. Maybe we'll talk about them. We'll have to look at them here as a third place finisher. Maybe they finished in third place with 4 points. Who knows? If you get third place with 4 points, you are probably more than likely going to get to the round of 16 because only 8 teams. You know, we talk about, oh, the NBA's got too many playoff teams, and the Major League Baseball's got too many playoff teams. Now NFL, I have to leave it. Well, this particular instance, 75% of the field. Or, two-thirds of the field.
Are,
75%, 16 out of 24, So two-thirds, 66.6% of the whole tournament make the knockout stage. So Germany would be on the level of atrocious if they actually have a third-place potential out of the group and still don't make it. So we'll look back at them, but how do you see this group finishing?
I want to say we will have the Scotland match under wraps Friday, and then we will have the Hungary match the night we record on Wednesday. So we will know two matches by that. I want to say, man, I don't agree with you at all. Okay. I think Germany are going to win the group. Switzerland come in second, and then Scotland. You know what, man? It's so funny. I want to say Hungary just because people are putting them out, but they're actually a dark horse in this tournament. They have the offensive power. If they could just defensively hold, they could possibly get third. They only, so in Euro qualifying, I have to say that they did absolutely wonderful. They won Group G with Serbia, Montenegro, Lithuania, and Bulgaria. They had 18 points, and they scored 16 and only allowed 7, okay? I want to say they won that group, so they're not an easy pushover. I will, you know what, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say Hungary in third and then Scotland fourth. I just think Scotland are just, they're not going to be good. I think Germany smoked them first match. And I'm going to say they get fourth. So Germany, Swiss, Hungary, Scotland, man, I think you're thinking you're crazy, but they're in Germany. So yeah, we'll see, man. We'll be two matches deep for next one. So that's that group there.
And I think honestly that what will happen is the Germany finishes third, and let's say they do or they don't make it. If they don't win the European Championship, it'll fall on Nagelsmann. It'll somehow come back. Players will start to complain. Toni Kroos at this point, he'll be retired. This is his swan song, so he can say whatever he wants to the media and say, yeah, "Look, the guy's a little pissant." Yeah. So you know, we didn't listen to him. Anyways, it'll come back on him. Trust me, it'll come back on him. Let's look at Group B real quick. This is Spain, Croatia, Italy, and Albania.
Yeah,
this is not the same Spain team that we saw during the glory years from 2008 to, I don't know, let's say 2015, 2016.
Yeah.
But still, Dani Carvajal just scored probably the deciding goal in the Champions League final. I know they won 2-0, but really, that 1-0 was what they needed to break through Real Madrid. So you got him, Nacho, still got some. You got Aymeric Laporte, Jesus Navas. You've got Rodri, the young guy, 27, my man, playing out here for Spain, trying to make a name for himself. Alvaro Morata, Joselu, Dani Olmo. So there's still some names on here. Not the David Silvas and those guys from years past and stuff like that, but still, nonetheless, you know, there's no Fabregas. There's no
Iniesta.
Iniesta. Andres Iniesta is a big one, and Sergio Ramos, right? So there's that generation has sort of come and passed. There's a couple of holdovers, but you know, it's kind of Mikel Mourinho, for example. You know, 27 years old, another guy that went to Dortmund, didn't quite make it. So they have some talent, obviously, but this is not the same Spain team. Now you look at this with Croatia, right? They always finish in the quarters of almost every tournament they play in. But again, you know, their guy Modric, you know, he was largely responsible for a lot of that. And so Croatia is in kind of a transitional phase. Now Italy come in as the reigning
champions.
Italy come in as the as the reigning champions of Europe.
Yeah.
A team that did not qualify for the World Cup.
Two times.
Twice.
Yeah.
Haven't been to a World Cup since 2014, I believe. That is, I can't believe I'm saying that. But they went to the European Championship in England and won it at Wembley. So there's something to be said about that.
Yeah.
They are indeed the reigning and defending European champions. So let's talk about this group real quick. How
we did say we were talking about Group of Death, and it's funny. You said one and I said one. I agree with Critty. Critty agrees with me. There's two groups, and this is one that I see top to bottom really being a difficult group. Croatia always doing well. Spain on the up with their young players. They've been starting Naki Williams, Morata, and Yamal up front with Pedri, Rodri, and Ruiz behind them. What an attacking front. I'm telling you, they are turning a leaf, and they are starting to do a lot better. Now, Morata could do a little better on his finishing. We know that. He likes the bottle. But they are doing better. I think this is definitely a very difficult group. Italy, Croatia, Spain, and Albania. Albania have been doing really good defensively. There's a fire going on. We are by the fire station, so we're letting that go by. Albania are in this group also. They did decent with the qualifying. They did a few draws, but they also won their group in qualification. So they are also a respectable side. I think this is a very strong group. Italy, Barella, all the guys are there. They've been doing well in friendlies, so it's going to be a tough one. I do think Spain are the ones to watch here. I do.
Well, Italy right now, to me, are the favorites in this group, believe it or not. And they drew with Turkey on the 4th of June. And then last weekend on Sunday, they beat Bosnia and Herzegovina 1-0 in a friendly. They, before that, back in March, they swept their friendlies. They beat Ecuador 2-0, beat Venezuela 2-1. I mean, I don't know if you really want to hang your hat on that specifically, but you know, then before that, you have to go all the way back to November. But there is, you know, Italy's got problems scoring goals, Nick. That's their big deficiency. And if you look at, I mean, you got like, it's okay. Names here, keepers, obviously Donnarumma, but then you have, you know, you have DeMarco, Di Lorenzo, you have Gatti, Darmian, Mancini, Bastoni, Fratesi, Jorginho. All these players, they have a very good midfield, very good, obviously defense is what they're known for. And then up in the front, basically, this is what you're looking at. Scamacca, Chiesa, El Shaarawy still on the team, you know. That's where my problem is with Italy is I do favor them to win the group. I think defense, there's a lot to be said about, you know, offense wins games, defense wins championships, old cliche in sports, all sports. But I think that's what gets them through. Look, they will lull you to sleep. This has happened to so many teams that probably had no business losing to Italy. I'm looking at you, England, 2021. And Italy somehow grinds it out, Nick. They find a way. And this is like, this reminds me of like, you know, the Antonio Conte sides in the mid 20 teens that really didn't have a lot of talent, but they had a squad set to play his tactical vision, and they executed that to perfection. So I want to ask you,
Italy,
with the group, you know, the way I see it is honestly, I think it's going to be Spain and Croatia playing for second place. I think Italy advances as first place and win the group. And I think Albania finishes fourth.
Yeah, I think Albania is the odd duck out. I think Spain are going to finish first here, man. I do. I think Italy right behind them. Croatia are going to be fighting for a third place spot, man, with the old side. I agree with you with Italy, man. They really need that spark up front, man. They are missing that player, that finisher, that Kane, that Morata, that guy who could really put that ball behind the net, man. I mean, Chesnya, and I don't even think they called Immobile up. Deservingly so. I mean, the guy's old news for sure. I think they're going to have a problem scoring. Spain has been so good. They've scored so many goals as of late. They have young talent. I think Spain are going to pull out that group. Italy second, Croatia third, and Albania will they'll be there for the vibes, man.
They'll be there for the vibes. Albania. Yeah. Thanks for coming, my friend. So Group C. So Slovenia, Denmark, Serbia, England. And this is the group right here that should be pretty clear cut. I mean, I'm not like, I favor England. If England do not win this group, then it's a travesty. And again, this is like the national team for Germany. This goes back to the same thing. And I will put England and Germany in the same bucket, that England and Germany should be semifinalists in this tournament. Yeah. Germany because they're the hosts and because they have a lot of talent. England because they should have damn won it on home soil in 2021 and they bottled it. And they have, to me, the most talented squad in this entire tournament.
Yeah.
So you could look at in terms of like who's better in the world. You could obviously throw Argentina in there. There's a couple of things, but in terms of
talent.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is the best England team that I could ever remember. And I'm talking even going back to the golden age of Rooney, Beckham, Lampard, Gerrard, those guys. I think that this side is so young and so good and so talented. Yeah. And at no point in time have they had a number nine as good as Harry Kane. Yeah. So this is it. It's do or die because your window is going to close.
Yeah.
I think the 2026 World Cup is
like the pinnacle almost.
Yeah. I mean, you have to win either this one or the next one. Yeah. You got to win one of these two. So I'm going to say with this, just with the pure England and Denmark are 1 and 2 in this group. I always like Denmark. Denmark is feisty. They play you tough. You got, you know, like I always look like players like Paulsen, Christian Eriksen, guys like that. They're always gritty. They just make it, they're just efficient. And it usually takes a side that's truly better than them. And I don't know that Slovenia and Serbia are necessarily that much better than Denmark. So I like in this one, England, Slovenia, and England, Denmark, Slovenia, Serbia is how I like the group.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is England's time, man. You got Rice, Saka, all these guys just so young, so talented. And really, man, anything less than first is a travesty. Yeah. They have to really do well in this tournament. If they don't win Euros, Southgate will be fired. That's already, I mean, he he's had his chances, man. And if you don't shine with this club, this talent that you get, I mean, this is a manager's dream. Could you imagine coming to a team with Declan Rice, Harry Kane, Jude Bellingham? I mean, the list goes on and on, man. So you expect nothing but first place. I do think Denmark will get second. Denmark have been playing lights out in these last friendlies, and in qualifying, they did great. Serbia will get third and Slovenia fourth. Serbia are just an offensive power. Mitrovic, Tadic, and the Juventus legend, what's his name? I can't
Vlahovic? Think.
Yeah, Vlahovic. Yeah. Vlahovic, these guys can score, but just no one can defend, man. So
yeah, that's what their downfall is going
to be. Yes, they're not going to be able to defend. England, they'll play a match. It'll be 5-2. So, yeah, man, I think England, Denmark, Serbia, then Slovenia, and then England advance, man, in first.
Okay, so the other group of death, Nick, Group D. And this is.
Oh, I kind of feel this is the real group of death. I saw Italy's group and I thought it was another contender.
Yeah, this is nasty. France, Austria, Netherlands, and Poland. And this is, start it off. You start this off. I mean, I'm gonna let you take the honors on this one. This is unheard of. How this is just a very, very tough group to pick.
Yeah.
Even one and two. But go ahead.
Yeah. So Poland have to be the odd man out. They luckily snuck in from penalties. They beat Wales on penalties. So really, I think they're going to get their participation trophy that have become such a big thing in this day and age. Back in our days, you know, we didn't get those. It was first or nothing.
This is how Lewandowski ends.
Yep. This is how he walks off. He will then be playing for Charlotte FC or Galaxy with Reus. And then he shines in America. Anyways, Poland are going to be the odd man out. I'm sorry. And then really, you got to ask yourself, France, Austria, Netherlands. I really, really like Austria.
I know you do.
I love Austria. I think they're a very strong side. They just drew in a friendly with Switzerland where they scored first and then played that tight defense. They did let the Swiss did get a goal back. It drew 1-1 and they played their behinds off. I'm telling you, they have one of the smartest and most talented managers. One of the most brilliant minds in Ralf Rangnick. He is a legend. I love the guy. What he said about United and how right he was is a showing of what he knows. I think Austria are going to have a good showing here. We're going to say France, there's nothing that needs to be said.
No, but I want to ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Real quick. How about the team that's in their last two matches, June 6th and June 10th, they've got 8 goals for and none against.
Yeah, Netherlands.
A 4-0 drubbing of Canada followed by a 4-0 drubbing of Iceland.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to get your take on them because, Netherlands are always – they're always the bridesmaid, never the bride. And again, when you look at their – it's a talentful – I mean, it's a talent – look, you got Virgil van Dijk, you got Nathan Ake, you've got Matthias de Ligt. You've got Dumfries, Matson, Daley Blind, who's been there, it seems like forever. God, yeah, he's 34 years old now. I mean, it's just insane. Jeannie Wijnaldum, obviously, and Cody Gakpo, Daniel Malen, Wout Weghorst, and Ryan Gravenberch. So you got a couple of, three
Liverpool.
Well, Wijnaldum, former Liverpool, but Van Dijk and Gakpo, and Malen, obviously, playing for Dortmund as well as Ian Matson. I like this team.
Yeah.
I think that they are a dark horse. Yeah. I think they're a very dark horse to win. I think that they will finish second in this group. I do like France to finish first in the group for obvious reasons. But also, think about this for the Netherlands. Avi Simons, who plays for RB Leipzig.
Yeah.
He is one of the – he's 21 years old, and the RB Leipzig are crazy about him. They think he's one of their absolute gems that they discovered and got to play at a very, very early age and a starring role for that club. Now going to play Champions League next season, of course, as he did this season. And, I just like everything about this side. I really do think that if you take all things considered, that the Netherlands has to be a dark horse pick to win the European Championship. And I think they will – but I don't even think they'll win their own group. But that's because it is such a tough group.
Yeah.
I do like what you said about Poland. And I like Austria. I just don't know that Austria have the firepower. Now, if we were talking about the next two groups in Group E and Group F, then I would say Austria, absolutely. But I just don't think that they have quite the firepower to beat France and the Netherlands. But
I don't disagree. Yeah, Netherlands are definitely your favorite to get second behind France. I do agree with you there. I think with the smarts and the defense that Austria has, they can possibly sneak in that second. If I had to put money on it, I would say Austria get the first or second place of the third place teams, or they get a second place on maybe like a goal differential or something. Gun to my head, I would say France, Netherlands, Austria, then Poland, and I think Austria will make the playoff in the third place side, and they'll get paired with someone like England and then probably lose. But I do think that they are progressing very well. Netherlands is one of the best sides in this tournament, I feel. Top six, top five, I say. Talent-wise, great. Defensively, they've been really good. Last few matches, they've definitely scored a ton. It's just Netherlands, man. Just like you said, they're the bridesmaid. They never have their own show.
Yeah.
And it's hard to really put a lot into them because you kind of know that they're going to run into that big team and probably get beat. I mean, that's just how it is with them, man.
Well, Austria could absolutely slip through as one of the best third place teams. Yeah. And I actually do think that I'm going to pick them to advance to the knockout stage.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Ralf Rangnick is a football mastermind. He has been around the game for so long. He has masterminded so many, just taken so many he is in charge, basically the RB, the Red Bull project,
yeah.
Salzburg, Leipzig, those guys. He was the original manager that got them promoted through all those lower tiers. And, you know, he's seen this thing come full circle to where RB Leipzig are now a perennial Champions League club.
Every year.
So you don't want to count him out.
No.
But let's move on real quick to Group E. Winners at the top alphabetically, and I'm going to stick with that, Belgium. And then you have Slovakia, Romania, and Ukraine. And, you know, this is a toss-up right here because – Ukraine got in at the very end,
yeah,
and everyone, of course, is going to be pulling for them. It's sentimental.
Yeah.
It's sentimental, but I think that, you know, I think I'm going to go Romania here in the second spot behind Ukraine in third. I think Slovakia comes in bottom, but yeah. Belgium will absolutely. I think Belgium could actually get 9 points in this group. I think they could beat everybody and take a full nine. But what are your and I don't see with this group a third place team advancing.
Yeah. It's going to be, you know, Slovakia, they have a few players, you know, you don't really see, they're more of like the team guys. Like they just play so well together that they got to advance to the Euros, you know, Skinner and the keeper from Newcastle, Brovkov, he's pretty good. Duda from Verona, like they have a few guys who have kind of supported them to this point, but this is where it ends, man. Belgium, Kevin's healthy, Lukaku scoring, they're playing very well. This is the last chance for the golden.
Yeah.
This is the golden era, golden boys from 2018 and all that. This is their last.
Oh, they're the golden boys in 2014.
In 2014, 2018, when they were supposed to shine, this is their last shot. Everybody's 32, 34, yeah. Everybody's getting older, so this is it. I think they win the group. Romania, very strong side defensively, can score. Man for Parma, helped them get promoted, really good striker. I just think Ukraine have the power. Yarmolenko up front, the Ukrainian Messi from Shankov from Girona. Or no, not Girona. The guy, the winger they have from Girona is, I forget his name. I want to say, they got Mudrik. Yeah, Mudrik from Chelsea and Girona. Shankov, he'll be there. Sharapenko, another young kid they have that's doing really well. I think Ukraine gets second, man. I think Romania will get third, and I don't think a third place team from here do advance. It'll be hard.
Yeah, you got to look at this. Like you have the next generation coming up in Belgium. You got Luis Openda and Jeremy Doku.
Yeah, Openda,
so those are your two that are coming up. But yeah, for that generation, Yannick Carrasco, Romelu Lukaku, Leandro Trossard. He's getting up there. He's 29 now, and Yuri Tielemans, 27, Kevin De Bruyne, 32, You've got Thomas Mounier is 32, Axel Witsel 35, yeah. Jan Vertonghen 37.
Yeah, 37.
So, yeah, I mean, this is it. Kern Castiles, the keeper, 31 years old. So, I mean, Tomas Kaminski, 31. This is it. Yeah, this is Belgium's last hurrah for that golden generation. But I do favor them to get first in that group. And the last group we got to talk about is Group F. I think this is the easiest group out of all of them. Turkey, Georgia, Portugal, Czechia. And with this one, so Portugal to me, they won every single game in qualification, right? I mean, they will destroyed win this group. It. I think they win this group. They win all three matches. They advance with 9 points. No questions asked.
Yeah.
And it is going to be a dogfight between Turkey and Czechia. I think Georgia's getting the nice participation medal. I think they're going to get one of those.
Yeah.
It's always an honor to get the participation medal.
Yeah.
And be sent off with a bouquet of roses back to Sanford Stadium in Athens.
Yeah.
Sorry, wrong Georgia.
Yeah.
But you get my point.
Yeah.
Turkey, Czechia, that's where it's going to come down to, man. Yeah. Second place. I think that Portugal, they'll run away with this. I just think there's just far too much talent.
Yeah, Portugal allowed 2 goals in qualification, and they were both to Slovakia, who also got second place. And Portugal won that match 3-2. So I just don't see anyone beating Portugal. I agree with you. It'll be hard for anyone to score against Portugal. Young, talent, Ronaldo's still there banging in goals. He's going to come off the bench. He could even start possibly. Bruno, Fernandes, and yeah, man, no one's going to beat Portugal. I do think it comes down to Czech and Turkey. Turkey has been playing a little better, but that's a toss-up, man. Flip a coin. I take Czech just because my great-great-grandparents are from Czech, and so I want my bloodline to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Good side. They are good defensively, and also they can score. So it's just going to come down to really, I think, who can get points in that Turkey-Czech match. They're going to be – whoever wins that is going to, I think, automatically get second. So – yeah, I see that going pretty much the same way you say, man. Easy Portugal, Czech, Turkey, and then we got the, I don't even know the third, Georgia. Yeah, Georgia's just there for vibes.
So let's just say this real quick. So we'll follow this tournament out. We're not going to, and we'll do a final preview and all this stuff. Yeah. But let's just say we've previewed this tournament. We've got the groups down. And that's going to be what we focus on today and this week. We'll continue to do this as we get closer to the final. And we'll pick the final when we have a final four. And we will pick a winner once that championship game comes up that weekend in July. But I want to say this. Without knowing precisely the matchups in the round of 16, if you had to pick 4 teams to be in the final four, who would you pick right now on paper and based on the results that you've seen?
Well, I'll say Spain, France.
Really, Spain? I'm kind of surprised by that.
Yeah, Spain, France.
Wow.
England, Portugal.
Okay, I like all those except Spain.
Yeah.
I like all those except Spain.
You understand? Yeah, I think Spain have gotten so much better. I think they're going to be – and it's hard to say they're a dark horse because it's Spain, for Christ's sake.
They're not a dark horse.
No, I know. But a lot of people don't have them favored.
No.
And I just think
– because it's not the same Spain that you and I were coming up with 10 years ago.
No, but Yamal and those guys and Rodri and those guys are really talented and really – Reese – really talented, really good, man. I think Spain, France, England, and Portugal are my final four.
So somewhere in there you have Germany losing.
I have Germany losing in the second playoff game. They'll win the first game.
So they get to the quarters.
Yep, they'll make quarters.
Okay, so my final four, if I had to pick just 4 off of a sheet of paper and say, like, you know, these are my odds. Like, you get house money to put on these 4 teams.
Yes.
England, France, Portugal, man, I'm sorry, we're doubling over here.
That's fun.
Netherlands.
Okay, yeah.
Netherlands.
That's a good one. I would switch Netherlands with Spain. That's fine. I think Spain are going to score too many goals, man. I really do. I like your Netherlands pick, though. Netherlands, you can flip-flop that. If you could pick 5, guess who would be my 5th? Netherlands.
It should, and yeah, I shouldn't be out of the realm of possibility
by any
means.
It's not crazy,
Switching over. We're going to let's do a quick preview of the Copa America, which also starts this week. We have, like I said, but when we started this program off, one last friendly tonight, one last ass beating possibly in hand for the United States to Brazil tonight. We hope it isn't that. We hope to see a lot of improvement. Hope to see the United States rebound, and but it just you just I'm not going to go there again. But just under Greg, it just looks so bad.
Yeah.
But let's look at Group A. Group A is Argentina's group. Now we talked about this. Pretty easy for them, right? I mean, yeah, you know, how do you see a Group A playing out?
I mean, it has to. I mean,
this is Argentina, Peru, Chile, and Canada.
Yeah. Argentina definitely. Peru just played a tight. I mean, not Peru. Chile played a tight game versus Paraguay last night, and they destroyed them. I think Chile stand a chance to get second versus Canada. Canada have a lot of improving to do. They've been terrible defensively. I'm going to say Argentina and Chile just because Chile are going to play a better defensive game than Canada. Peru just aren't the same Peruvian side that we saw in the Cup 2018. Guerrero is not playing anymore. He's 37. I don't see them do anything. I think two South American sides come out of this, Argentina and Chile.
I like this. They played Argentina played Ecuador a couple days ago, and Angel Di Maria scored 40th minute. But I love this lineup, this Alvarez, Di Maria, and Lautaro Martinez in the middle. Then you have basically Messi was subbed in. The back line, Romero, Martinez is your two center back anchors, and of course Martinez in goal. So I like that. And then you look at their bench, Angel Correa, you have Palacios, you have Messi, Cuarta, Gonzalez. You have your young guy that's coming up. He's the future. In Alejandro Garnacho.
Yeah.
You have the old guard there, Nicolas Otamendi, and of course Liverpool midfielder Alexis McAllister, and you just have a really good mixture here of young and old, but big all time. Of it's to play. This is the one team I say that can rival England in talent, Nick, on paper. And of course, we all know football matches are not won and lost on paper, but I'm saying, if you're doing if you're giving a rating, so to speak, in a video game or so, this would be the one that I would rate on paper as equivalent to, or possibly even better than England.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. I do. I think that it's going to be Argentina. If you think about it, man, they're probably one of the best on the planet, man. I mean, they are World Cup winners, but along with England, Argentina, Brazil. And Brazil's a hard throw in there. I mean, just the talent is absolutely off the charts, man. I mean, it's crazy. All the names you just named are world-class, man. It automatically start. We didn't even name Messi, who's, of course, old, but he still makes a difference, man. He does.
Does Canada have a shot to sneak into second? You don't think so?
I just don't. Not defensively, man. Marsh don't have enough time. He just got off the plane last week, and they got cooked by Netherlands, and then they did good just against France. I know. Yeah, you're right. And they held France.
The final four of Europe.
They held France. Yeah. They did to zero, but it's a friendly. Mbappe didn't come on until the 78th, along with Dembele. I don't think Canada have the power, dude. I really don't. When you're starting players who play in the Canadian Premier League, you're doomed.
Oh, God.
Yes.
The Canadian Premier League.
Yes, you're doomed. So I just.
You know what's funny is that you have Montreal and Toronto and Vancouver Whitecaps are Canadian clubs. They play in an American league. But Canada also has its own.
They play in the Canadian Cup. It's funny. When Canada has the cup with the Canadian Premier League, Montreal, Vancouver, all of them participate. That Toronto.
So weird
and Toronto win it every freaking year.
Listen, have you ever. Can you imagine Rapid Vienna playing in the German Bundesliga, or RB Salzburg playing in the Serie A?
That's the same thing, right? Yeah,
that is weird to me to have a domestic league with other countries' teams in your domestic league.
Yeah.
But it's in every sport: Toronto Raptors, Toronto Blue Jays, the former, very much dead Montreal Expos.
Yeah.
But you know, it's always been that way.
Welcome to America.
Well, the National Football League is the only league that doesn't have a Canadian team.
Yeah, you're right.
Basketball's got it. Hockey's obviously got it. Yeah. Baseball's got it. And Major League Soccer. Yeah. So, I've always thought that to be very bizarre. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right. So, who'd you say second? You got Chile and Peru.
I think Chile are going to be good enough. Vidal and Alexis.
Say Alexis, this is his last
still playing.
He's fucking 78 years old.
Yeah, they have a good back line. I watched the Chile.
Yeah.
In La League, I think they have a good enough players to stand in there. I think second. Yeah.
They were What tournament did they fail to qualify for recently? Was that the World Cup?
Yeah, World Cup.
Yeah, that was a pretty big disappointment.
Chile won Copa America.
Yeah.
Like not maybe 10 years ago. So they were two or three times ago they won it. So talent's there.
Okay, so we go to Group B. Now, to me on paper, this is the weakest group. This is by far the weakest group. So this is a very tough situation in who you, because so this is easy, right? There's four groups,
yeah,
four teams in each group, no third place. It's just the top two advance. Very easy. We don't have a round of 16. It's just the quarterfinals. So this is a very straightforward, linear tournament. But here we go. We've talked about how much the decline of the Mexican national team has been occurring over the past 10 years. They are the top right now in Group B. I would still say on paper, because the other three squads in there are Ecuador. Maybe they could rival them, but then Venezuela, who is a war torn country with basically a dictator running things, they are on the top 10 list of places Americans should not travel. Yes. And so they're in turmoil is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And then Jamaica and
Jamaica has their problems.
Yeah, Jamaica has their problems. Like we talked about this, you know, when the United States played them back in March, whenever it was, when they came from behind. Haji Wright, way to go, buddy.
Yeah.
Leon Bailey did not play for them, and neither did Antonio.
Yeah.
So how do you see this group playing out? Because this is, if you say any two teams, I'm not going to disagree with you.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird one. Ecuador going to be the winners here. I would put probably my life on it. It's, you know, that's kind of crazy to say, but I think they're going to beat out Mexico. Mexico's going to get second. Jamaica will get third, and Venezuela sadly will get last, man. They just don't have anybody. Josef Martinez is done. He's finished. Venezuela just is not good enough to challenge for a second place spot here. Jamaica's sadly is probably going to get that third spot. I think they could rival Mexico, but Mexico talent-wise are just going to outbeat Jamaica. Now, if Bailey was playing, because now that Antonio's back, I think if Bailey was playing, Jamaica could get that second, but Mexico on talent, Ecuador is going to run away with this.
You and I talked about how in that CONCACAF Nations League or whatever it was that United States won 2-0.
Yeah.
You know, how big of a disappointment the management was for Mexico, but also when Jimenez, for example, was subbed in, he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Are you looking for maybe a turnaround in this tournament? Something that gives you kind of some kind of inspiration that they may be on an upward trend, or are you just think that Mexico's just in one of those lulls where it's going to take 4 to 8 years, maybe a couple cycles to get out of?
Yeah, I mean, Mexico can't find a manager that they can keep in place. I think until they find that guy to keep them going forward, I think they're in trouble, because the talent's there. They just have to call the right guys up and they got to get the right manager. I think Mexico's on the down, and it's going to be a few more years before they get back to where they could possibly beat a Germany in a group stage game in World Cup. Like, it's going to be a long time.
The two goals they just scored against Brazil, one was an own goal, and then of course Ayala scored in the 90th plus two.
Yeah.
And then it's almost like on command that Brazil's like, well, you're not going to draw us. Yeah. So then 4 minutes later, they score the winner.
Yep, Endrick scored the winner.
It's almost like we know we can beat you whenever we want to. But
so let's do it.
But Jimenez is just, to me, the biggest disappointment.
Yes.
I really am very focused on him because he's the biggest name they have. He plays in Europe. He's got a spotlight on him.
Yeah.
And the times that I have watched him play for the Mexican national
invisible.
Team, he has not done that much.
Yeah.
Whether it's starting from the beginning, as he did against Brazil, or whether it's coming on as a reserve against the United States back in March. You know, both times,
terrible.
Yeah, I've been disappointed. So
that's the big save for him, man, is everyone's let down. He's a $50 million, $60 million guy. Arsenal were looking at him. Like, it's someone that should be performing. And really, when you watch him, he just doesn't all you. So I don't know what his issue is, because he does okay with Feyenoord. It's just – It's hard, man, and I don't think he has the push and drive, the talent, the physicality to really get those goals in CONCACAF that he should to propel Mexico, man. It's going to be a toss-up. I think Mexico get that second, but Mexico has a long way to go, man.
They do.
Yeah.
So you're picking who to win the group?
Oh, Ecuador. Easily, Mexico,
Okay, so Ecuador and Mexico advance. I think Mexico usually does get the benefit a lot of times of having an easier path to. The one time they really did earn it was when they beat Germany in that World Cup.
Yeah.
And yeah, they absolutely earned that round of 16 appearance.
Yeah.
But we're going out of Group C, and this is where the Americans find themselves. They are playing one of the best sides in the entire world of international football in Darwin Nunez's Uruguay. Uruguay will hands down 100% mark it, bet on it. You can bet your house, your wife, your girlfriend, do whatever you need to do because you're going to win some money. Uruguay will win this group.
Yeah.
And now I don't think we have anything to discuss there, right? There's no debating that. You and I both agree on that unanimously. So let's talk about who's finishing second here. You have United States, Panama, and Bolivia. And here's the thing. Before last week, I would have said USA is going to finish second without a doubt. Now I'm very skeptical. Yeah. I have no idea how this is going to be playing out because Panama or CONCACAF, Bolivia obviously play South America. They play against some of the best teams on the globe. Where my level of confidence in the United States winning those matches, and you do need to win. There is no third place get out of jail free card here. It's first or second or nothing. My confidence is like on a scale of 10, it's like a 2 out of 10 to beat Panama or Bolivia. Yeah. Certainly both of them. If they can win one, because I'm almost certain Uruguay is going to hammer them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You've got to get at least 4 points to even have a snowball's chance. And then, of course, you need – because Uruguay, right, here's the thing. Uruguay are going to have a massive goal differential.
Yeah.
But you don't want to be the one they put five on.
No.
Because even if you have four – and say Panama has four, Bolivia has 4 points.
Yeah.
What if Uruguay hammers you 6-0, but they only beat Panama 2-0? Yeah. Well, then you know the outcome there, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So America, United States has to limit how badly they lose to Uruguay while also trying to get 6 points out of six from Panama. But if they can do that, they can beat both of them. They're absolutely in the quarterfinals. But I'm going to ask you here, like, are they going to beat Panama and Bolivia?
Yeah, I think they can. It's just a matter of how they play. I mean, my confidence is shot down. I just...
You'll know more after tonight, right?
Yeah. We'll see a little bit more. I don't know how much to put on. I think they're so beat up, man. I think Brazil's going to cook them. But I think that United States in that group, I think they could beat Panama, but it's going to be difficult. And Bolivia are not an easy pushover.
No.
And it's going to be difficult. I honestly could see them leaving this group with freaking 2 points. I mean, drawing to Panama, drawing to Bolivia.
Yeah, you're realistic about it.
Could happen. They might be able to beat Panama and then get the 3 and then maybe draw with Bolivia, have 4 points and win the group. But man, it's a hard one. I'm going to say that USA gets second, but they're going to have to beat Panama. If they don't beat Panama, and I don't know, I'm trying to see. So they play Panama second. They play Bolivia first. Beat Bolivia in the first game.
That's
huge. You got 3 points.
That's huge.
Then Panama, you can draw or lose possibly, but then you have to draw with Uruguay.
It's a huge positive and a huge advantage for the United States to be playing Uruguay last.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Because Uruguay will already have the group won by that time.
Yeah.
They'll probably rest players and or they will tell, you know, let's not go full throttle.
Yeah.
A 75% effort from Uruguay can beat the U.S. 2-0.
Oh, big time.
Right?
Yeah.
So Uruguay comes out in the first game, wins 5-0.
Yeah.
They take it easy on the U.S. They win 2-0.
Yeah.
Maybe you go off. Yeah. Maybe you get second place on goal differential. This is why I said goal differential in this group for second place is going to be crucial. Watch it for that.
Yeah.
Now, the other question I have for you, look at this now. Panama's last 3 games, the only credible team they've played is Jamaica. Okay, that was back in the CONCACAF Nations League match for third place. They lost that one, Nick, 1-0. And since then, they've had World Cup qualifiers, second round.
Yeah.
They beat Guyana and they beat Montserrat.
Yeah.
Can you name me one player off Guyana or Montserrat?
No, and Montserrat only has like a 5,000 population. So, sadly, Panama...
By the way, Montserrat scored on Panama.
Yeah, they did. Right. I was actually... It was 1-1 at one point at halftime. Panama killed him at the end, but I was watching a little bit of that. So, they just... Sadly, Panama is small enough where they have to be in this second stage of qualification. Now, the next stage is when they'll play USA, Mexico, and blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, Panama is one of the better in that stage, but, right, that's not saying much, man. Literally, they're playing farmers.
On my birthday last year, when I turned... Well, you don't need to know that. But That is the last time the USA played Panama. Panama won.
Yeah.
July 12th, 2023.
Yeah.
Panama beat the United States. So they can do it. They've done it before.
Oh, yeah.
And I, I'm just saying that this is, to me, have to beat Panama. There is no doubt about that. Now, the next time they played in the final round of the World Cup qualifiers in March of 22, and the USA won 5-1.
Yeah.
So, you just can't have any slip-ups. Panama has to be 3 points, in my opinion, and it would be ideal to draw with Uruguay and with Bolivia. 5 points gets you through. Yeah. I believe it does.
Yeah.
But
I think so, too. Yeah.
But, with that said, I think Panama is a must win. We agree?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Now you have to pick the group. You have to pick the group. So who's coming in second?
Yeah, I'm going to say USA coming second. They'll pull it off just because Bolivia and Panama's levels are a lot smaller. They're just not as good. I just think they're going to be able to pull it off. They won't beat Uruguay, and I think they get a second place, and then they will get demolished whoever they play next round. I think so.
So you're picking Uruguay and the United States to advance.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you make a great point about Bolivia because they lost to Mexico back on May 31st, and they beat Andorra back in March, as well as they lost to Algeria, your boys, Algeria, back in March as well for that international friendly break. And then before that, they lost to Uruguay 3-0. They beat Peru 2-0, and they lost to Paraguay 1-0. So Bolivia is not a world beater. Yeah. And that's why it's so, like I said, before this Colombia match, and you and I will both be a little bit smarter on the United States here in a couple hours.
Yeah.
I would have said it's like 90% guaranteed the United States advance. But now I think it's like 50-50 at this point.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with you, man. God, I'm going to do the same just because you
got to really fuck this up.
You really do. I mean, Panama is such a beatable side, and Bolivia
is Bolivia.
I mean, the United States, I try not to do this in sports. Like if you beat them and I beat you, then that means I beat all of you. I try not to do that. But Mexico beat them just a few weeks ago, and the United States just beat Mexico a few months ago handily.
Yeah.
They beat the only win they have in this calendar year is against Andorra, which is barely a country.
Yeah.
They lost to Algeria. They lost to Uruguay. They lost to Mexico. I got United States advancing against my better judgment, and I hope they put on a better show. We'll predict this Brazil match tonight, too. We'll give a score line at the end. But so we got Uruguay and USA. USA by the skin of their teeth, man. We're gonna see the Americans get to the quarterfinals. And last but not least, man, this is the group of death right here, man. Group D, Brazil, Colombia, Paraguay, Costa Rica.
Yeah.
I think you and I both think Brazil win the group, right?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. So again, Uruguay, Brazil running away with their group. Yes. Argentina running away with their group. Group B is a toss up. Could be one, could be the other. You said Ecuador, Mexico, blah, blah, blah. But that is not a very strong group. This one's going to be Brazil again. Now, we're obviously talking about who's coming in second.
Yeah, I think after what we saw the other day, it's Colombia. They have the talent. They have the firepower defensively.
Boy,
sound. Yeah. I mean, Costa Rica is in a transitional stage right now. They just fired their manager that they had for the last two tournaments. So this is a new side here. A lot of young talent. Paraguay just got demolished. They're not really as respectable as used to be. Almiron's really the only guy they got. He's been kind of hurt. He hasn't been himself even for Newcastle. So I think, surprisingly, this is a Brazil-Colombia group, and I just think Costa Rica are just in too much of a transition, and Paraguay just are on the down, man. They're not as talented as they used to be. I think Colombia and Brazil are going to battle this out, and I think whoever – Colombia could possibly beat Brazil. If they do, they could win this group. I don't think they will, but I think Colombia, if they could possibly draw that, the way they beat these other teams, they could win first. I think it's a Brazil-Colombia group with possibly Colombia coming out on top. I just think it could happen.
Well, let me tell you something. Colombia has not lost an international match since February 1st, 2022.
Yeah, they just had a ton of draws.
And do you know, I'm going to give you some teams they've beaten.
Yeah.
Do you know who beat them on February 1st, 2022?
I could.
The world champion Argentina.
Yeah.
World champions Argentina. So that game, Lautaro Martinez scored in the 29th minute, and that was the only goal.
Yeah, that was it.
Since then, though, I would like to say, since then, you have like Colombia, like look at this run. They have had a two-year undefeated streak for their national team, okay? In that time, they beat the USA 5-1. They beat Spain 1-0. They obviously beat Mexico a couple months ago.
Yeah.
They're undefeated this season, Colombia over Venezuela. They beat Brazil 2-1. They beat Germany 2-0. They drew with South Korea, beat Japan, drew with the United States.
Beat Saudi Arabia.
They beat Mexico. And they beat Bolivia 3-0.
Drew with Korea, beat Japan 2-1.
So we just said in there,
yeah.
United States, Brazil, Germany, Spain. That is football royalty.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not the United States men's national team. But anyways, you get my point.
Yeah.
They could easily come in second without a shadow of a doubt in this group. But I don't sleep on Paraguay, okay? I don't sleep on Paraguay. And Costa Rica is one of those teams. You saw it when the United States was trying to qualify for the World Cup in 2018. They slammed the door shut on the United States.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, I'm not, you know, on paper again, it's a very dangerous thing to put your winners and your losers based on paper, because that typically never works out in your favor. But this group's got to be Brazil and Colombia.
Yeah.
Costa Rica, though, just be careful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's a dangerous group. I do like Brazil and Colombia, though. I think one of those two could win the whole thing. So,
yeah. In the last two matches that Costa Rica's had, they did win 7-4 against. But again, look. St. Kitts and Nevis, and then Grenada.
Yeah,
I'm not putting too much stock in that. Last time they actually played a real game was May 31st. That was a couple weeks ago. They played Uruguay 0-0.
Yeah.
And before that, it was back in March. They lost to Argentina 3-1. No shame in that.
Yeah.
And then they did, in that same international break, they did beat Honduras 3-1. Honduras, of course, was the team that beat the United States out for qualifying in that 2018 World Cup. Honduras actually beat the hell out of the United States as well. That was a deciding match in November 2017. They lost, so it's total embarrassment for the U.S. But, yeah, so, okay, so from that point, Nick, your final four in this tournament, who are we gonna go with?
Argentina, Brazil, Colombia, and I'll probably say...
You haven't named Uruguay yet.
Yeah, it has to be Uruguay. Yeah, Argentina, Brazil, Uruguay, and Colombia. I don't think a North American side make it.
I don't think so either.
No.
They're
not good enough.
Yeah, the only – and I say this like in terms of like where your picks are. I mean, if I had to go differently, if I had to, you know, choose something different than yours, it depends on how the matchups go, right?
Yeah.
But – yeah, I'm with you. I honestly don't see it ending any other way. I think Colombia and Brazil, they end up in the same group. That's just how it is sometimes, right? But
they won't play each other out of the playoffs.
Right. They won't.
They can meet in the second or third round, which they probably will.
Yeah, just picking a top four, I agree with you. If I have to pick a top four, it might not be this way in terms of like how they finish and where they match up. But I agree with you, man. Argentina.
I can't put USA in there.
No, can't. I can not in the final four. No. I mean, we've already done good to give them final eight.
Yeah.
Brazil, Colombia, Argentina, Uruguay. Unfortunately, there's not much difference between.
Yeah.
Well, that wraps up the group stages of both of these. We've predicted who we think on paper are the four strongest. Not necessarily who will be in the final four, but who we would say are the four strongest candidates to possibly advance to the final. We're not going to pick a final yet because we're not going to give everything away for free, man. That's why you have pay-per-views, right? You guys got to pay for the main event. That's right. Got to listen. But we will pick a winner for tonight, Nick. So let's line this thing up. This is the last thing we have to discuss. It's the only thing. It's what we started off with, but we never did pick a score line. So let's just analyze real quick. How do you think the USA is going to line up against Brazil? And what is your final score going to be for that match?
I think we're going to see, we'll probably see the same lineup. I mean, he might start Haji. He might give Haji a shot, just give him a little bit of time. Dest is out, so Scully has to play. I don't really see much of a change. Yes, they did play terribly, but they really don't have much more to offer. I mean, do you put Brennan Aronson in maybe?
Yeah.
Do you put McKenzie in instead of Ream or Richards? Richards was terrible. Carter Vickers could come in from Celtic. I mean, I just don't see much changing. Pepe, PSV, he might see some time. I think we need to start Haji. Haji needs to be up front in that center. Sit Forlan. Let him think about his dumb decisions and mistakes. Let Pulisic and Weah play on the sides. I think Brazil are going to stick to their B team starting and then A team coming out in that second half. I don't know if USA is going to be able to score, man. I really don't. Brazil's a big favorite. I'm gonna say 2-1. I think USA will somehow get a
sneaky. Damn, that's a huge improvement.
Yeah, no, big improvement. I don't think it's gonna be too crazy of a slaughter. I'll say 3-1. I think Brazil are gonna be able to get a couple more. They're pretty pissed off about the Mexico result. It's gonna be 3-0, and then USA will get a 70th minute goal on a Brazil mistake. And they'll make it 3-1 just to get the boat to score. Yes.
We just talked about these stupid namings of these stadiums. They're playing at Camping World Stadium in Orlando.
Oh, Jesus.
Camping World Stadium. But I think that's the old Citrus Bowl, if I'm not mistaken. I think it is.
Citrus was, yeah.
It's so the Camping World Stadium. Right. But look at this, man. Allison in goal, right? I mean, he's a Liverpool legend. Yeah. He's won everything there is to win at Liverpool. FIFA Club World Cup. Yeah. He's won the Champions League. He's won the Premier League. He's won the FA Cup. He's won the League Cup.
Yeah.
He's won the European Super Cup. He's done it all.
Yeah.
So the United States, to get past him, good luck to you, sir. 6'4", 201 pounds of lean, mean muscle out of Brazil. I don't see it. I don't think they score. I really don't think they score.
They might not.
But, it depends to me, Nick, on how Brazil lines up. Because if you look at it on paper, who they have available, I mean, you've got Pepe, you've got Rodrigo, you've got Rafinha, you've got Vinny Jr., you've got the other Ederson. You've got Luis, Paqueta, Bremer, Gabriel, Wendell, Marquinhos, Danilo. So it just depends on what 11 start, right? I would expect Allison to be back in goal again because you don't want to take – you want that guy who's going to be your starter in the actual Copa to be in there. I mean, you experiment with things in international friendlies. This is an international friendly, but this is an international friendly the same week that this major tournament starts.
Yeah.
So I would go with the hot hand, pray he doesn't get hurt, but you need Becker to be – you need him to be – Allison to be on point, right? I'm going to go 3-0 Brazil.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 3-0 Brazil. I think at the half it's going to be 1-0, and I think the USA tires out, and then Brazil get two more because I do believe, like in the first time, first match against Mexico, that Brazil puts in their stars late, and there is just not enough gas in the tank for the United States to defend. This is without us, by the way. We're recording this without knowing the lineups. The lineups are a couple hours away from being announced.
Yeah,
but if Vinny Jr. comes in off the bench, may God help you.
Yeah.
May God help you.
Yeah, because they don't have no one to stop them.
I mean, Colombia walked through that back four like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, what's Brazil going to do?
What's Brazil going to do? Especially Vinny Jr., who you and I both know might be the most – I'm not saying he's the best. I'm saying he's the most dangerous player.
Oh, absolutely.
He might be the most dangerous player on the planet right
now. Yeah, big time. Yeah.
Because of that amazing pace.
Yeah, him coming at you, you're definitely thinking about it, and he's very good. I don't think 3-0 is wrong. I'm giving the USA the goal just for the hell of it, man. I think – they could possibly get a garbage one in the 60 or 70th, and that's it, man. I think Brazil's going to walk the floor with them, and that'll be it. We'll of course review it next week, but I don't think neither of us are wrong, man. We call this like we see it, and that's probably what's going to happen. I don't think the players are playing for Greg. It's going to get ugly, man. It really will.
Yeah. So that's going to wrap it up for today. We've discussed the drubbing.
Yeah.
What's going to happen tonight? And you got your two big tournaments starting this weekend, and we've gone through all of the groups. you can't ask for much more. I mean, God have mercy. Yeah. But I tell you what we will do. Next week, we're going to be back, same place, same time. Yeah. And we're going to discuss
We'll have some Euro matches
to discuss. We'll have Copa America matches in the books to discuss. Any injuries that happen, anything that happens, anything that breaks possibly that might happen when the transfer window opens, we'll cover that. Not too much going on right now. Couple of deals being discussed. There are some big names possibly on the move. You know, just to put it out there, you know, you and I were listening to a Liverpool podcast earlier. Every single player almost that has any kind of name, I mean, they're discussing anything from Nunez, Diaz, Salah, what's the future there? If anything breaks, you know, we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
The only thing that looks like it's certain is Kylian Mbappe to Real Madrid. Yeah, we all know that's the worst kept secret in all of football.
He's done it.
But yeah, there's going to be a lot more changes. You know, where's Olise going to go? Big news out of Man U, they are going to keep, as you said, retain Erik ten Hag. So well done. You know, I do believe if they had not have won that FA Cup, he was a dead man walking.
Yeah,
that I honestly, Nick, I think that the fan, just real quick before we wrap up here, I think the fan turnout for that match, the way they cheered him on, the way they stood behind those players in that funky formation, you've got like he's I mean, during that time he's playing like McTominay up front.
Yeah.
He's got Casemiro in the back. I mean, it's just I mean, it's also like survival of the fittest, man. Do whatever you can to score the victory. And I think Ten Hag, man, like, you know me, I'm not a United supporter, but
yeah,
I honestly, like, you know, from a human side of it,
yeah,
I think he deserved to keep his job. And you know, I think it's a really cool story how he honestly probably came his entire career at United came down to one damn match.
Yeah.
And he won it.
Yeah.
Against a team that you and I both hate.
Yeah, no, it was good, man. He deserves another year, and they'll change some personnel, and let's see how he can do. If they don't finish top four and get anything next year, he will be gone. I guarantee that contract he signs is going to have that in his clause, and he'll be let go. So, yeah man.
Well, I will see you tonight, Nick. We're going to watch this USA-Brazil game,
yeah,
and yeah, we're going to find out how right we were, how wrong we were on these score lines, and see if there's any improvement. But yeah, that's going to be it for this week, man. So we're going to turn the lights out and
catch y'all next week.
Yeah. Everyone else. Again, thank you for the support. Thank you for the likes. Thank you for the reviews. Thank you for the kind words. And yes, all you guys and gals, please continue to show us your support. We love each and every one of you. And yeah, we'll see you guys again next week.